While you guys are turning there, I'll make a quick announcement I forgot to make. Warren and Becky are trying to hire somebody for their bread route. And so if you're looking for work, talk to Warren. And then I'll get my commission. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of God, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Will you pray with me? Father, we thank you so much for your word, Lord, and the joy of it. In this day, I just pray, Lord, you get me out of the way. Let the truth of your scripture come through to those gathered here today. Thank you, Father, for your promise that your word will never come back empty, that whenever this Bible is open and that word is spoken, that it will touch someone, Lord. And we count on that, Father, and praise your name for the realization that nothing man can do can enhance the word. All man can do is proclaim the word. In thy name we pray. Amen. What an exciting letter this is. It is the first written letter from Paul in the scriptures. The church at Thessalonica was actually the second church that was established in Europe. So here we get a real great view of Paul's first attempt recorded that we know of. Paul's first attempt to preach the gospel in writing. And I think that's pretty exciting. And as I study, as we go through this book, it'll take us a few weeks to go through 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, we see Paul talking to a church that he is so excited about and so proud of. We see Paul bringing across some great points. And this first chapter is so full of such good meat that this morning we're going to see a lot about what being a church truly is. Now, somebody tell me, what is a church? Called out ones. Okay, the assembled, called out body of believers. You are the church. This is a building that houses a church. This is building itself is not a church, but the members in it are. So Paul's letter is unique in the way he opens. Do you notice who he calls this church? It is the church of the Thessalonians. Isn't that exciting? Say, Pastor, I have no clue what you're talking about. Thank you. Thank you for your honesty. It's the only letter in the Bible where he addressed a church as the church of the people in that town. Every other church, every other letter starts to the church at Corinth, to the saints at Rome, to those who are of this church at Ephesus. Every letter starts differently than this one. It says the church of the Thessalonians. That is exciting to me. You know, little details in Scripture that just jump out and grab you and shake you real good are what we miss so much. The church of the Thessalonians, what does it take for Paul to feel that this church is a church of the people of that town? Wouldn't it be great if we were to receive a letter said to Taos Valley Baptist Church, the church of the Taosenos? Wouldn't that be great? If we were the church of the town, but there's a whole bunch of churches in this town. I'm not putting any down. I'm simply saying that if we could refocus for one Sunday and understand that the church was built to be of the people, not to divide the people. It's not an organization that was established here on earth to make you say, I go here and I go there and I go here and I belong here and all this other stuff that has divided believers. And it's happened for hundreds and hundreds of years. We've become to the point we take pride in the name on our sign than we take more pride in being the church of the town we're in. I believe it was Felice and Jaretha, back when they first started coming to this church, and if I misquote you, I'm sorry, made the statement that we're not Baptists, we're Taos Valley Baptists. That is pretty cool. Isn't that cool? I like that. We are to model ourselves after the churches in Scripture who were praised for the way they functioned. This church gets a lot of praise. And we'll talk about how they got there here in a minute. But let's think about it for a minute. Wouldn't it be wonderful if the church, the local church, was viewed as the church of the people? Okay, instead of just the place down the street or, well, let's get up this morning and flip a coin and see which church we attend. Wouldn't it be great if the church would be addressed as the church of the people? Now, it's the church of Jesus Christ. That's its primary function. But a church body should be a place that nurtures, exhorts, builds up, helps one another, cares for one another, prays for one another, cares about what the church is doing. A church has got so many things before it can be called the church of the Taosanos. There's so much work to be done in a local body. It amazes me how strong a hold Satan has got in religious organization. He has got to the point that he has divided all of the body of Christ into little blotches, little pockets of believers. Some pockets are bigger than other pockets. And we call them churches. The true church of Jesus Christ comes together for one purpose. That is to worship God. In fact, our commission is to evangelize our community, number one, to baptize those who accept the Lord, and to instruct them in how to be disciples for Jesus Christ. That's the commission of the church. Yet we, in the 21st century, have made churches into enemies and combatants. Instead of being able to focus and say it's the church of the people, we now say it's the church of the Baptist or of the Methodist or of the Presbyterians or of the Calvary or all things else. And it's even funny now I see in the 21st century as I watch groups form new churches because that's what we do anymore. Do you understand our problem is we don't fix what's broke? We just get something new. You know how many less denominations there would be if Christians would simply decide to fix what's wrong in the church instead of just starting a new church? Amen. But we take great pride in this term, I'm a Baptist or I'm non-denominational. Baloney. There's one denomination, that's Jesus Christ. That is the only true denomination. I really worries me, I see so many churches that are fashioned and functioned and depend entirely on one person. And that's the leader of the church, or that particular brand of churches in the country, and that's baloney, folks. We don't follow man. We follow Jesus Christ. See, I'm not a Baptist because there's a Baptist denomination. Let me tell you why I'm a Baptist. It's pretty simple. If you get the Baptist faith and message, and read it, there's nothing there that's not in the Scripture. That's the only reason I'm a Baptist. Amen. Because their beliefs follow the Scripture. But there's other churches that do the same thing. I am a believer in Jesus Christ, and I want us to grow a church that's the church of the Taosanos. That we can take pride in the fact that we serve God in our community. This little church, jump over to verse 7. So that you were in samples or examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Acacia. For from you sounded out the word of God. This is the only place in the New Testament that sounded out the word of God used. You know what it means? The ringing of a trumpet. Think about that for a minute. The ringing of a trumpet. If right now somebody stood out there in our portal and they had a trumpet and they blared out the sound, where would it be heard? Would it be heard only in this room, or would our neighbors hear it? Say it a little louder. You're not sure of yourself. That's right. It wouldn't be contained in the doors of this building. The sounding out, the ringing out of the trumpet would be heard in the community. It would be a piercing sound that could not be silenced. It would be a sound that would get people's attention. It would let people know something's going on. Yet, when we come on Sunday and we shut the doors, a community hears nothing. Now, I got a big mouth, but I can't yell loud enough for the community to hear me. It's when the church's example rings forth in the community and the surrounding communities. Paul says to all that heard of your work, my goodness, folks, what are we at Taos Valley Baptist Church? Does the community hear of our work? Now, I see it. I know you love each other. I know Sherry just got her house. I know a good part of this church been praying every day for Sherry to find a home. I know that. I know many of you who have been sick and ill in here. I know that the members of this church have prayed for you till you healed. I just went through surgery. I had meals delivered to my house for a week. Going to have another hernia here in a few weeks. I like you. I like you. Becky bought me a little stuffed lamb. So cool. Got 2 dozen roses. Not 1 dozen, ladies. I got 2 dozen. Because you shared your love. I can't fail to mention one of the most special is Miel and Lab brought me a 1/2 gallon of mint chocolate chip ice cream. Touches my heart. It's what the doctor ordered. What I'm saying is we get down in the trenches. We don't just talk about it. We care about it. But does the community know that? See, I know some of you here are afraid of growing. I've heard you tell me. Many have said, gosh, I like our little church the way it is. And that's okay. I like all of you too. But folks, the church's example in the community is that the work might be known to the lost, that the lost might find God. See, I have no desire to pull people from other churches. There's people who have come to this church. And I've talked to them. I said, why did you leave your other church? And they tell me, I said, well, you need to go make peace with them. Don't leave there angry. If you want to come here, you're welcome. We're not about taking. We're about building. We're about finding those who don't know the Lord and leading them to the Lord. We are a church based on evangelism. And Paul's saying to this little church at Thessalonica, if you went to Acts 17, you know how long Paul spent in that town to build that church? Says he was there 3 Sabbaths. 3 weeks. These guys are young. They're brand new church. Now, Paul had to go because he got treated like dirt in Thessalonica. He got kicked around, beat up, arrested. And so he left. But the testimony he left there, from that testimony, sprung a church. Now he's going back to them and saying, wow, you guys have done great things with that basic truth I left with you. You are the church of the Thessalonians. I want us to be the church of us, that we follow the Lord, that our work is known in the community, that we go out and we do things. You know, folks, God has blessed us so much with the youth work in this little church. It really is. If you would come on our Tuesday night and see 25, 30 kids running around here, hearing and learning Scripture, it's so beautiful. Vacation Bible School starts in a couple of months. Going to be 100 kids a day in this church. Over 100. Is that important work? How many agree with that? That's important work. Raise your hand. Okay. What are you doing about it? What are you doing about it? Are you promoting it? Are you making sure that maybe instead of 110 a day this year, we have 120? What are you doing about it? What I'm asking you is, what are you doing in the community to spread the work of the church. See, the church is all of us. So the work is of who? All of us. So who's supposed to be working? Say, all of us. Say it loud enough that they'll hear you on the CD.
All of us.
Thank you, thank you. Can't back out now. It's a permanent record. We need a youth building. Most people agree with that? Anybody who's been here while youth work's going on know we need a youth building. So whose responsibility is it for us to get a youth building? Okay. What are we doing about it? Well, we had a car wash. That's great. Raised $1,000, $1,100. That was wonderful. But I want you to look in your hearts just a minute. I don't mean this to be mean, but I got to say it. Some people in this church wouldn't take tickets to sell. Why? Because they're too busy to peddle a couple of tickets that those little kids might have a building. Folks, if we mean what we're doing, then why aren't we putting our feet to the fire and doing it? Why aren't we? You know, God's given us in this church, we've got the Baptist builders that'll come in any time. The head of the Baptist builders is a member of this church. We got an inside line. They'll come in and build this building at no charge labor-wise. No charge. How many in here can get a... Well, Elton's a contractor. I'm not going to ask him. How many of you can get a place built with no labor? We can. But the thing is, sometimes we're so excited about the meet and greet that we forget that the foundation is the work we do. The church of the Thessalonians had that thought. And let's talk a minute about how they got there. We know that Paul loved them. We know they were an example to the community. We know that their work rang out and it was heard of. Now go down, if you would, in chapter 1 to verse, because I'm going to do some skipping around on you. Go to verse 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost. Interesting term in there, in the word power. Now, you guys know I don't spend much time throwing Greek and Hebrew words out at you. I think there's some churches have filled their whole sermon in translation of words. But there's a word in here I need to translate for you. It's the word power. That word power is dynamis in the Greek. And guess what word we get from dynamis? Dynamite. This is explaining or defining or describing an explosive power of the work of the Holy Spirit in a person's heart that brings them to the Lord. It's talking about an explosion that when that word was preached to those people, they received it and the power of it. It's telling you and I that if we have the courage to testify, that we have the explosive power of the dynamite of God. Now, what more do we need? What more? If you get in a fight, do you want a big stick or a little stick? Big stick, right? Well, God says, I'm going to give you some good stuff. And Paul's saying that the Word came to you with that power. There's several of you here today, many of you here in this church, that found the Lord. After you start visiting this church, you become Christians. I think we baptized 53 in 6 years. People who made true professions of faith. Now, some of those had come in from other places, but people who accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to tell you what brought them to the Lord was not my sermons. We all know I'm not much preacher, and I have no problem with that. But the power of the Word of God touched their hearts, and they accepted the Lord. And that's what the church of the Thessalonians had. Do we expose that power? I don't know. You can only answer that for yourself. I don't know if you are afraid to use it, think you don't have it, believe only the preachers get it. I don't know. But this church realized we are an assembly, a called out assembly of believers that has the power to explode in this community with the Word of God. To explode. Now, I told somebody the other day, you know what? And I don't know if I get to remember anything about earth when I get to heaven. But you know what I hope I get to see? I hope I get to see a whole bunch of people there that are there because they heard the truth in Taos Valley Baptist Church. That's what I hope. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be exciting? Because see, guys, this life is so short, so empty. But the church of the Taosenos have an explosive power. And we need to use that power. Now, what did they do with it that made them the church they were? Well, it's a pretty simple formula. If you go back to verse 3. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God our Father. So Paul says, that's the work of the formula he's given him here, what he sees in that church. A work of faith. What does faith do for you? Somebody tell me. Does anybody in here have faith? All right, Brian, what does it do for you?
It takes focus off self and puts focus on God.
All right, and where does that faith then take you?
Into God's will.
Okay. By grace are you saved through what?
Faith.
Okay. No salvation without faith. Everybody got that? Your ticket to the grace of God is your faith in God. Now, you could have walked in here this morning, and I could have worn some pretty robe, and I could have sung certain songs and said certain things. But that doesn't do you anything. You got it? You must have faith yourself. Your salvation cannot be dependent upon the work of the pastor or the church. Faith takes you into God's grace. Faith is what keeps you going. Faith is what allows you to grasp the fact that Jesus Christ loved every one of you individually. Isn't that great? Isn't it great that in heaven that the book of the Lamb's Book of Life doesn't say Taos Valley Baptist Church saved? Isn't that great? It says Christine and Dee and Joe and Daryl and Phyllis and Carmelita saved. We are individuals. We're not a collective salvation. We're an individual salvation. That's why, sadly, my believing in Jesus Christ won't get you to heaven. Okay? It can't. You've got to pick that, make that choice yourself. Faith is that ticket, that foundation. In fact, if you would, look at what Paul describes here as a building. The foundation, the cornerstone of all work is Jesus Christ. Faith is the foundation that you build everything you do as a Christian on. Okay? If you don't believe in God, are you going to work for God? No. Now, I'm going to be perfectly honest. There's a whole bunch of guys out there in the world that do it for a paycheck. But faith is what motivates the work that we do, the true work for God, the work that when we appear before that Bema seat, that we'll get reward from. You know, I spent all, you guys know this, up till 2 years ago, I've never been a full-time pastor, always bivocational. I work a job and preach. And sometimes I think maybe it was a mistake to go full-time. Because when I was bivocational, it required me to stretch my faith every day. It required me to go to the job, spend my 8 to 5, and go home and get busy on my study. It made me schedule my appointments in the evening. It made me work harder. And Paul is such an example of that. He was a bivocational pastor. He was a tent maker. We should do our work because of our faith, not because of material rewards of man. Okay? If you get some, that's gravy. But faith is that foundation that we work on. Now, the next one he says is labor of love. What is the difference between work and labor? Not everybody at once. Take your time. Okay, that's a good definition, Jim. Very good. Very, very good. Let's take it a step further. Elton's contractor, okay? Elton, when you're out there building a house, now as the contractor, you must work. Is that correct?
Yes.
Who are the guys that pound the nails? What are they doing? laborers. See, us workers sweat a little bit. Laborers get soaked. Laborers put it all. Laborers are down in the ditches. I think it's that Paul's saying here, to labor means you're committed, convicted, you're a part of it. Now, what would a labor of love be? Well, I can't labor in love of God unless I love God. Does that make sense to you? So our second step in our building is going from the foundation of faith to the first story, which is showing our faith as it expresses itself in a labor of love. A labor of love is you making a meal and bringing it to my house when I was down sick, or supposed to be down sick. Labor of love was my wife giving me a little bell to ring if I needed anything. She made me turn it back in Friday, by the way. Labor of love is when you exhaust yourself by the feeling that's inside of you to get the work done. Labor of love. Okay? You know, one thing that's wrong with marriages in America now, it's people always talking about working on the marriage. Let me tell you something. If they would labor on the marriage would be good. See, labor of love produces something visible. It produces something that should appeal and draw those you love to you. And that's what a labor of love for a church is. The church at Thessalonica had a joint spirit that we are going to labor in love. Now, I'm going to throw something at you. I want you to understand this. Everybody hear me. You will not ever be able to love God the right way until you understand how much God loves you. Okay? You won't. Most of us, sadly, waste a whole life not getting into the love labor because we never understand how much He loves us. Now, we'll get a picture of the cross in our minds. I mean, it's pounded into us. We see pictures and drawings and statues and all this that hammers the cross home to you. And folks, without that cross, we have nothing. But God's love is bigger than even that cross. See, God's love doesn't stop once you have Him in your life. Do you understand that? It's always in your life. I feel bad, and I don't want to put anybody down, but I feel bad for those who teach you can learn lose your salvation. Because I don't think you understand how much God loves you until you understand it's permanent. See, the Holy Spirit is your DNA. Do you understand that? Once you're born again, He's a permanent part of you. You can hurt God. You can forsake God. You can turn your back on God. But He never does any of those three to you. That's how much He loves you. Parents in here. You parents, well, by definition, if you're parents, you have children. So this will work real good. Would you, for anything, disown your child? You wouldn't, would you? Now, you might get mad at your kid. You might let your kid go out and do stupid things because you know they got to learn a lesson, huh? You may get disgusted with them. But you cannot remove that DNA from your child's body that says they're your child. No more than we can remove God from our lives once we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. It is a permanent love, and until I grasp that permanent love, how can I love Him the right way? See, if we would surrender to that love and realize how big it is, if we just let Him take us in our arms, then we can love. Then we will labor in love. Then I'll tell you what, church, on Wednesday nights you'll come in here and see more than 10 people praying. You'll see 30 or 40 on their knees because a labor of love is when we come together and we pray for one another. Yet on a Wednesday night you see 10, 12 people. Once in a while, accidentally, we'll have 15 or 20 because somebody made a mistake and came to church. We want to labor in love, then let's labor in love. And I'm not putting you down. Guys, I'm telling you, I'm the preacher. I got to be here. I'd probably skip some too if I didn't have to, but thank God I can't skip them. because I have the same human nature you do. But God says a church who's grounded on the right foundation of faith will labor together in love. We're going to get together and help Shirley pack when she leaves. Load the U-Haul. We're going to have a potluck next Sunday. We're going to come together and people are going to spend time cooking food. That's a labor of love. And then it becomes a labor of gluttony. And then we have a great time. Labors of love is what we do for one another with no thought of return. It amazes me when I do something with somebody in church and they'll say thank you. Well, that's polite. But guys, I don't do it so you'll say thank you. I do it because you're my brother or sister and I love you. And I want to labor for you. And I don't need any recognition for it. What I need is for you to labor in love for someone else. What we need as a church is the church of the Tessenials that's grounded in faith and growing in faith, that throughout the community knows that church labors in love. And a labor of love builds a great building, folks. That youth building is kids' stuff if we labor in love. Many of you were here, or not many, because there wasn't many of us, when this building was built. And I tell the story so many times, but it's so important. When we raised the first wall on a Wednesday night, we stood here in this huge span of wall, and we all got at different points, and we raised it up, the first wall of this church, and everybody at the park stopped and clapped for us. That was a labor of love. Okay? When we were on the roof of this place, nailing down plywood and crawling in the rafters, when we were working, it was a labor of love because we believed the work of this church would reach this community. That's a labor of love. Some of you have come since then, and you've labored in love here. You've jumped in and cleaned the building. I mean, Christine, when Albert had surgery, Christine jumped in with no recognition and cleaned this building every week because Albert was down and couldn't. When I was down and not supposed to be up, one preached for me. We labor in love because we believe it's the right thing to do. Now, he says, what is the next thing in the formula of the building? Well, we have work of faith, labor of love. Then what's he throw at them there in verse 3? Patience of hope. Folks, this is very important. In life, the reason you fear life and what life throws at you, it's because you haven't allowed your hope in God to grow. Okay? See, our hope is Jesus Christ. I love the way the writer of Hebrews takes this. Jesus is our Sabbath, our rest, the place we relax from our labors. See, the Hebrews had to follow the command of the day of rest, the Sabbath. Writer of Hebrews, the book, says Jesus is your Sabbath. That's where you rest from your labors. And many times in our life, when we fear life, it's because our hope is not in God. It's in our own personal work. Okay? If today you think, if you look in your hearts right now, if you died, what do you believe is going to happen? Nobody answer me. But you ask yourself that question. Some are going to think, well, I'm going to go into this state of suspended animation. Some think I'm going to go to some place where they're going to punish me temporarily and then I'll go to hell. Some think I'm going to go straight to hell. And there's some that know I'm going to go to heaven. See, that's hope. That is hope. And with that hope, I don't have to doubt or disbelieve what's going to happen tomorrow. See, I know God will take care of me. If I have had faith and I have labored in love, I'm too busy to worry about the things I don't have to worry about. Understand that? That I may be strapped for cash, but I know that God provides my needs. Okay? I may not get all I want, but I'm going to make it if I'm laboring in love. that second story on your building is a big story because many, many people spend their whole lives worried about things. They're worried about what's going to happen tomorrow. They're worried about what's going to happen to them when they die. Folks, I don't have to worry about any of that. You ever been disappointed because your worries didn't come true? Think about it for a minute. You ever been disappointed because the thing you were worrying about didn't happen? You're all fixed up and you're all pumped up and you're all ready to take it on and it don't happen. And you walk around. Because some people are going to be sad no matter what happens, good or bad. Good or bad. And I tell people, don't be careful who you ask how they're doing. Because some people spend hours telling you. Okay. We get disappointed because what we worried about. What's this kid's story? Chicken Little, the sky's falling. Is that the guy?
Yeah.
Lots of Christians run around yelling, the sky's falling. You know it? You know what happens to them when it don't fall? They're so disappointed. So they go join a new church and figure out a different day the sky's going to fall. Half the denominations of the world about the sky falling. You know? I go on a lot of forums where the scripture's being discussed, and most of them are forums where pastors discuss things. And I very seldom participate. I just really, it's so ridiculous most of the time I don't get involved in it. I'll sit and read it. But I threw out a very simple doctrinal question Friday on one of the blogs, or one of the forums that has 5,000 members, most of them preachers. 400 people viewed what I posted. You know how many of them responded? 11, and it was just a basic, simple question. Four of the 11 that responded went off in some direction I've never heard of. They were more confused than I was. What I'm trying to say is, folks, sometimes we base our hope on the junk, and if you want peace, your hope is in God. Your hope is not because you're a Baptist. Your hope is that Jesus died on the cross. Your hope is not that your big King James is bigger than anybody else's. I think the biggest one in here is Kelly. Where's Kelly? Kelly, show him that monster. Flash that monster for me, would you? Yes, sir. Now, if anybody deserves to get to heaven over the size of their King James, Kelly deserves to go. Our hope is Jesus Christ. You know that? See, when your foundation of faith, you're saved. Your labor of love is showing the world that you are saved. Your hope is being comfortable in the fact that you're saved. Your hope is knowing there's nothing this world can throw at me that's bigger than the God I have. It's not about church or some liturgical performance or some ritual or some version of the Bible or some name on the sign. It's about the labor of love that takes you to the place that your life is surrounded by hope. Jesus is my hope. He is my promise. He is my salvation. He is telling me it's time to quit. Nobody said amen. That's great. Where's the security guards? I need that man at school. Please stand. Let me talk to you in closing as you stand. That way if I see you getting tired, I'll quit quicker. You know, in the old Jewish circles, the rabbi sat down, the people stood up. I think we'll go back to that. Today, members, visitors, fellowshippers, people, whatever your classification here today of Taos Valley Baptist, will you be a part of helping this church be the church of the people? Will you take your faith and make it a labor of love? Will you allow yourself to get so exhausted in a labor of love that you have great hope? If you're willing to do that, I can promise you that from this day forward you can have peace. Hope is peace. It's not buying a lottery ticket and hoping you get to pay your bills. It's giving Jesus Christ control of everything you do. Guys, you've already hit the biggest lottery there is. Guaranteed retirement plan forever, eternity. Guaranteed. Today, can we become the church of the people? Can we be an example to the community? Can our work ring out to where they hear it? I think Bill Vigil should be able to hear our work at his house next door. I do. But then Bill should echo that work to the one on down the street. Where are you at today, guys? Where are you at? Are you a part of the church of the people? Are you drifting around and in and out and stuff to where your foundation of faith is not growing anything? I only you can answer that. I love every one of you. And where you at? But you know what? As I read the introduction to that book this week again, it hit me so hard. That the first letter Paul chose to write to a church, he chose to tell them, you are a church of the people. Bow your heads, close your eyes. Father God, today we come before you. What a wonderful chapter in your word, Lord. I just beg of you that our little church could strive to look at our foundation, make sure it is faith, and I believe it is, Lord. But may each individual here look around and say, am I laboring in love? There's many of us that fill spots because we have to. But Lord, a labor of love is understanding how much you love us. And we know if we just take the time to think, you love us more than anything possible. Today, dear God, look at our hearts and give us hope. In thy name, amen.